Lord, I just thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you, Lord, that we get to have this conversation today. And I ask, God, that it would influence and impact not only the lives of the people that we're going to talk to about you, but the people in this room and our children's and their children's children, Lord. I just ask that this would be a generational thing. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Last night, you know, I told you my furnace broke, and I called my buddy in Indiana. And he said, my furnace broke, and he's an HVAC guy. And so I'm sitting there looking at my furnace, and I have no idea what all these wires are doing and what's this box and that box and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't know what to do here. And he says, well, what have you done? I said, I've figured out how to take the front off of the, that's all I've done. And then he started walking me through, like, this is how it works. This is how this thing does this, and this goes to this, and this. And I was like, oh, well, that's pretty simple. But it's a complex, but it's pretty simple. When you know how it all works together. What I like to do is come to congregations and just share with them an easy way of evangelism that anybody can participate in. I don't care if you just met Jesus this morning in the service. Anybody can share their faith with anybody, and I'm going to share with you how for $19.99. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to share that with you, and we'll be here for, you know, 45 minutes going through this. But I'm excited. I'm really glad to share this with you. So let's look at some guiding scriptures. These are going to be the two scriptures that we kind of reference and look at as kind of our why we're doing this. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. This is Paul writing. Says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's as simple as what it is. Just put your trust in Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. I need help. Help me, Jesus. Recognizing, realizing who Jesus is in your life will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, you might read that and be like, great, I'm not a preacher. I don't have to preach. You're all preachers. When Paul writes this, he's talking about the priesthood of all believers. All believers should be equipped and know how to share their faith with people. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 24 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Here's what you got to understand. Good churches, great churches like Dighton, churches that are strong and thriving and growing, the reason that they're that way is because they, as a congregation, have gotten good at sharing their faith. As a congregation, they've gotten good at sharing their faith with the community, whether it's events, whether it's invitations to come into the church, whether it's what they're doing in the church is very welcoming and they're very hospitable. Maybe it's the generosity of that congregation to the community. All of those things, everything this church does as a church is professing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a very powerful thing. So please don't hear me show up and go, none of you are doing evangelism. You are. If you're doing this, if you're volunteering, if you're serving, if you're helping, you are professing the faith together. We as a congregation are professing the faith. But the scripture goes on and says this, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider then how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This one another is, but you also have a personal thing. There's a personal responsibility to your faith and to share it. It's very personal. As a youth pastor, I remember people would bring their brat teenagers to church, and they'd drop them off to me, and they'd be like, fix them. I'd be like, look, I got your kid for an hour a week, and he's rotten. I mean, just rotten. Whatever you did the rest of the week, this is, right? I think the parent needed to take a little responsibility, right? So as Christians, let me spur you along and go, look, yes, there's a way that we profess the gospel. And I'm going to tell you right now, Dighton is doing a good job at we professing. They are doing a very good job at that. Lean into that. Lean into that. And some of you say, I don't know how to share my faith. I'm nervous or whatever, but I serve in my church. Awesome. That is the way that we profess, and you're a part of that. There's also a part, though, that I know that you're going to need some encouragement. What's it say there? Some encouragement and some help so that you can do your personal evangelism. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So please understand that I'm glad to share this here, and I really only share this in churches that are thriving and growing. I really don't share this teaching to churches that aren't doing this, because you can't do what we're going to talk about until the church is thriving and growing. So here's the first thing I want you to understand. Evangelism is very personal to you and to Jesus. It's very personal to you and Jesus. This isn't something that we're talking about people you don't know. I hope you get that. I'm not talking about strangers in the grocery store or someone at the pump next to you at the gas station. I'm not talking about those. That's who we profess Jesus to, strangers and that kind of thing. In John chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "And I, Jesus, when I am lifted up from the earth," when he's put on the cross, when he dies for our sins, when he's raised from the dead, "will draw all people to myself." I love that verse because right away I realized that anybody coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior is all by the power of Jesus Christ. I am just a hired hand. I'm just a helper. I am just there to assist. I'm not there to slam dunk, okay? I'm not the quarterback. He's the quarterback. If anything, I'm the water boy. That's where my spot is. So just understand, this is something that the Lord is already, the Holy Spirit is putting conviction on people's hearts. Trust me on that one. And I really believe if the world seems darker and darker and darker, when you turn on the news or whatever you watch or whatever, if the world seems darker and darker and darker, do you know why? Because when the world will always struggle when the Holy Spirit is pouring on conviction. And I really believe that there will be a breakout of revival across our land because the Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. The church is exploding with growth all over the world. Not a lot in the United States, but all over the world where there's been some really, really dark things that have happened. So when the world seems like it's getting darker, it's because the Lord is getting brighter. It's getting more contrasted. So who is the one person that you know? Let me read this again because I can't even read my own writing right there. Who is the one person that you know that if they knew Jesus like you know Jesus, it would change their life? Who's the one person? Now, we're not talking about, I don't know, how many people are in the room right now? Do we know? Can anybody do the math? How many ounces? I'm just kidding. How many people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Someone figure out how many people.
10 big golfs.
How many people in the room? Someone figure it out. Someone's that way. They just know. I want you to think of, what's that? Kelly's counting.
62. About
75, 80. All right, I want everybody here to come up with one name of one person that you know that doesn't know Jesus. One name of one person that you know personally that doesn't know Jesus. And if you're sitting there scratching your head going, "I don't know anybody." Well, there you go. Start there. Build a friendship with people that don't know Jesus. You can leave now. That's all you need to know. That's the homework right there. That's good. That's how we start. Build a friendship. But I want to start with the one person. If you have your person, raise your hand. If you have your person, raise your hand. You got it? Now think about it. Think about it. That's some 80 names. 80 names in this room right now, okay, that are not here, that Jesus is working in their life right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in their life, convicting them of sin, drawing them, calling them to himself. He's already working on their heart, speaking to their mind. They may not realize it. They may not recognize it. They may be totally against it. Who knows? I don't know their heart. But they're going to go through some things that are going to open their heart to Jesus. And that is exactly why Jesus put you in their life. I didn't write their name down. The person at the end of your table didn't write their name down. You wrote their name down. And I believe this, and you're going to hate me for this, but I believe that the Holy Spirit put that name in your mind, on your heart, for you to take responsibility of. And you're like, "Oh, man, that's your person. That's not my person. That's not Pastor Jim's person. That's your person. That's your person." And what do we do with that person? That's what we're going to talk about today. I want you to take a moment right now and identify and introduce your person to the group. Can you do that? Just share them. Who is this person with your group? Go ahead. All right. Is this being recorded? Do we know that, if this is being recorded? It is. Okay. Anybody feel comfortable sharing a name? It is recorded, though. I wanted to make sure that that was clear. Does anybody feel comfortable saying, hey, I'll share with you my name? Anybody? Yeah. Heather? All right. You want to share who Heather is? Or?
A coworker.
A coworker. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Daydre.
What is it?
Daydre.
Daydre. All right. And who's Daydre?
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Exactly. Yes. And, yeah.
My sister, Lisa.
Sister, Lisa. I could put my brother, James, in here. Yeah, for sure. Your sister, Lisa. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sally, mother-in-law.
Sally, mother-in-law. Okay. All right. That's right. Where is that coming? Is that always? All right. Okay. Oh, that's you. It's a thing. Okay. All right. All right. I love it. I love it. Angel gets his wings. I want you to understand that everything this congregation does, all the we profess, is for the person that you wrote down. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if those people were here this Christmas at some point to sit with you, to join you at this place? We'd pack this place out, wouldn't we? It'd be incredible. It'd be incredible, wouldn't it? But that may not happen. That person may not come at Christmas. They may not even come at Easter time. Who knows? And they may not hear Pastor Jim preach that amazing sermon of the gospel. It'd be awesome if they did. That doesn't always work that way. And so sometimes the we profess is amazing. It's awesome. And we're so happy for it. But there are times and there are people that God has put in your life because of you're the one who is the preacher for them. And your life is your sermon and how you operate your life. But let's go on. Here's the first thing I want to do before we get too far into this conversation is identify and overcome the fear of sharing Jesus. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. I want you to have confidence. Write it down. Have confidence. As you're writing confidence, let me say this. Let Jesus do the heavy lifting. Jesus is already drawing all people unto himself. He is already speaking to hearts. You have to believe that. You have to have confidence in that. You have to know that the Lord is already going ahead of you. The Holy Spirit is already working on your behalf and on their behalf. The Lord loves that person, cares about that person way more than you could ever imagine. And think about it. The Lord created them for himself. And he is always on mission to go after and receive and retrieve what belongs to him. Here's the second thing. Have faith. Jesus will give you the strength and the courage to have faith greater than your fear. So I want you to write down right now, write down your inner fear. As you look at that person, that one person, write down what is it that makes you very fearful about sharing your faith with that person. What's the first thing that pops in your head? You don't have to share that with anybody else. That's just between you and your piece of paper there. Just write down, what is the one thing? And And here's what I want you to do as some homework. I want you to take that fear. And in your notes there, I'm pretty sure I put some a little web address. Did I give it? Yeah, a little resource. That's a little preacher hack right there, okay? I use that site all the time. Someone says, I need hope in my life, Pastor, and I'm over there Googling hope in the scriptures, hope. And you can find it right on that website right there. You type in any subject, and it'll tell you what the Bible says about it. Isn't that nice? You thought Pastor Jim knew all those verses. He's just going to that site right there. I don't know if he uses, do you use that one or do you use a different one? Huh?
Google,
yeah. But you can type in any subject in there. I want you to type in your fear. When you get home, type in your fear and see what the scripture says about your fear. Find your confidence in the Lord. Don't find it in anything, anybody else, or some quote from somebody else. I want you to find your confidence and let the Holy Spirit speak through the scriptures to you. That's where you're going to find your confidence. And the last part is have a team. Have a team. Build an intercessory team for evangelism and accountability. You got your one person, but we're going to expand it here in a minute to four other people. But you got your one person, right? And I want you to invite three or four other people to be praying and fasting for that one person with you. Maybe throughout this Christmas season, before you would leave here, you would find three or four other people and you would say, hey, I'm going to text you the name of the person and their relationship to me. And would you just pray for them to come to know Jesus this Christmas? Christmas is a wide open door for people to come to know Jesus. Everything is about Jesus' birth. They can't get away from it. And so when you have a season like Christmas and you're praying for that person and they're surrounded by different things and they're hearing different things, I believe the Lord will use it. And so invite other people to be praying for you. Here's also what it does. It keeps you accountable. And accountability is what moves things down the tracks. And so one of the things that is kind of hard for me is I'll come to a church and I'll share what I'm sharing with you, and then I'll leave and nothing will be done with it. And I want to go back to that scripture that says, spur one another along. And this praying for each other, maybe you'll add this to your Sunday school classes or your groups or your time together. You'll just say, hey, can we pray for the names? Can we pray for our names? And imagine 80 people in this congregation praying for 80 more people to join them to know Jesus this Christmas. How amazing would that be? And I'll tell you what, it affects things in your life. You'll start to notice things and you'll go, you know, I'm so excited about this thing that we're doing at church because I know so-and-so would love it. And I know it would matter to so-and-so. And I want to make sure that it's ready for so-and-so. And all of a sudden, the we profess goes along hand in hand with the one another's responsibility. It's a very, very powerful thing. So have a team. Build a team. Who is it that you would like to say, hey, and it's a very personal thing, right? You talked about your sister. I talked about my brother. Knowing that there are people who are praying for the people I love and care about is a big deal. Knowing that they're praying that I would have confidence to share my faith is a big deal. It's a big, big deal. So please build that team. So where do we start? Where do we start? Here's what I would like to give you today. I'd like to give you a ladder, and I'd like to give you a lane. Ladders and lanes are very, very important. Ladders are great kind of structure that you can kind of follow. Here's step one, step two, step three, step four. I'm going to give you a ladder. And some of you are leaders. You don't even need a ladder. You're building your own ladder. But I'm just going to give you a very simple step one, step two, step three, step four. Is that okay? I think people like ladders. It helps them get a little bit higher in their living. And the other thing I'm going to give you is a lane. A lane is, hey, when you run down this lane, some of you will run down this lane pretty fast because you know exactly where you're headed. And some of you are going to pace yourself. And you're going, you know what? This lane, I'm going to take my time on this, and I'm going to go step one, step two, a little bit slower, but I'm going to go at it. I'm going to keep moving forward. So I'm going to give you some ladders and lanes. Here's the first idea, where to start. Begin with Frank. Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, I love Frank. I love Frank. I love Frank. Frank is a good person. Frank is a great person. And Frank is a very personal person to you here. Here's who Frank is. Let me introduce you to Frank. You already know Frank. You know Frank better than I know Frank. Frank is your, write this down, your friends or a friend. Write it down, a friend. And when you write friend, I want you to write the name of a friend who doesn't know Jesus. Just go write their name of a friend who doesn't know Jesus. When you get it, say amen. Oh, I hear that.
Amen.
Hey, I hear that. Amen. All right. All right. All right, you got your friend? You wrote their name down. Here's the next thing. R, I bet you can guess this one. A relative. Relative. A relative that doesn't know Jesus. And then write their name next to it. Maybe the name of the first person you identify, but a relative. If you got it, say amen. All right. A, it's not what you think. It's for acquaintance. It's for acquaintance. Write down the acquaintance. Someone that maybe you just kind of like, you know, I've run into this person. I really don't know them that well, but I run into them all the time, or I see them, and they just keep, they're just in my path. You know what I mean? Like I'm just, they're always there. I always see them. I always know that person. An acquaintance, okay? Write their name down. N is for? Neighbor. There you go. N is for neighbor. Write a neighbor down. And I know we're in the country, so neighbors are pretty far, but I also know you know them. My wife is from the country. She grew up at the end of a dirt road. And I grew up in the city. And we have a very different past stories of our childhood. But she knew all of her neighbors. They all rode the bus. They lived there forever. C, the last one is coworkers, colleagues, or maybe if you're still in school, classmates. There's a classmate. So now you should have not just one name, but how many names should you have? You should have five names. You got your top five? Five names. This is hard, isn't it? Some of you are like, man, I got a lot of Christians in my life. It's kind of a self-revealing thing, and I'll be honest with you, there's seasons in my life where I could not give you five names. I couldn't. And there's other seasons where I could quickly write them down. And I just want you to know that you are knocking it out of the park as a church in We Professing. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to lean into this. This may be where you begin right here. This would be step one. And here's what I've often noticed. Oftentimes in these environments, I'll ask people to create Frank and write their Frank list. And they'll make, oh man, I can't think of anybody. Oh man, they'll sit there and struggle with it. You know what I find? They get out the door, they get to Monday, and they're like, oh gosh, I got 10 names on my Frank list. It's easy when you're out there. Maybe you just carry the Frank list along, you fill it in this week, okay? But have a Frank list. So now let's do the math. There are about 80 people in here. How many people did we see in here? 80. 80 times 5 is 400. We're going to have to expand the building for Christmas Eve, right? Or we're going to have to start campusing or starting new churches because they won't all be able to fit here. And this is how the move of God works. This is a very powerful moment for this church. Imagine with me, 400 people. And these aren't just any 400 people. These are the 400 people that God has put in our lives. And oftentimes when we as a church begin to pray for our Frank, we begin to pray for Frank. In some churches, they call it their top five. But you got to realize every child in this church has a Frank. Even the infants have Franks. I don't care if you're a 94-year-old woman, you got a Frank. Everybody's got Frank. The Lord has put Frank in your life. And I want you to grab a hold of this church. This is a way to spur one another along. Even build it into your language to come up to someone and say, hey, how's Frank doing? And maybe you'll share a story about the person you've been praying for. It'll just kind of be code for the church. Like, how's your Frank? Hey, I've been praying for your Frank. I don't know the names on the list, but I've been praying that you would have the confidence and that the Lord would move in the people that you care about, the people that you love, the people that you know, that they would know, come to know Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, can I tell you something? When we moved from Indiana to Michigan, my Frank list changed because of my environment changed. And I remember when I moved to Michigan, I began to just really pray, Lord, show me Frank. I had to build all new kinds of friends that I didn't know. And I'm working for a denomination, the Wesleyan Church. It's hard to meet unchristians when you're traveling to churches every Sunday. But I've been asking for the Lord to show me my Frank. And he's done that. He has done that over, and the Lord will do that for you as well. You got your Frank? Say yep. Now we're going to bless Frank. Here's how you bless Frank. Now, this is a very powerful thing, and if you begin to initiate this, trust me, you will see miracles in your life. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Here's the first one. Begin with prayer and fasting. Begin with prayer and fasting. I know one church, they require the staff to fast from Sunday night until Monday dinner time. So their first meal is dinner time on Monday. And they fast specifically for their Franks. Just the people on the staff of the church. They fast just for Frank. I love it. So begin with prayer and fasting. And what this does is it takes that fear that you have and you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and allow him to give you confidence, to recognize opportunities, to be prepared. What it does is it gives the responsibility to the Lord. Here's what I need you to know. When you share your faith, and I'll talk about this in a minute, you're not doing apologetics where you've got to prove something or you've got to explain everything. You don't have to explain anything. If you did nothing else to say, I gave my life to Jesus and he's changed everything. That's all you got to, Jesus can stand up for himself. Jesus can explain himself. Jesus, all Jesus needs for you to do is open the door. Invite someone to have a conversation about Jesus. One of the things that I do is I'll say things like, you know, faith is a big deal to me. You know, Danielle and I, we go to church every Sunday. And yeah, I know faith is a big deal to you. I'm not saying it has to be a big deal for them. I just want them to know, you know, it's a big deal to me. Like it's really changed my life. Like there's a lot of things I do that some people would think was crazy. But we do that because Jesus is a big deal to me. And I just set it up like, this is what I do. This has worked for me. And when we share our faith with people, it has to begin with prayer and fasting. Now that you have your Frank list, commit it to prayer and fasting. And maybe it's you just say, you know what? I'm not going to, this is for some of you like me, this would be fasting for sure. I'm not going to have that first cup of coffee until I've prayed for Frank. And it may come out like, you know, garbled mess. But just saying, Lord, I just want to start the day praying for Frank. And I'm not going to even have my first coffee until I pray for Frank. That's a way of fasting right there. It's just giving it to the Lord, starting your day with that. Begin with prayer and fasting. And at certain times, maybe there's things that are happening. And oftentimes, you know Frank. And you know exactly what to pray for and what to fast for. And sometimes even telling them, hey, I want you to know you're going through this problem. Remember people have problems in their life? Hey, I know you've been going through this problem, and I want you to know that I'm praying for that. In fact, I'm going to commit. You can even tell them, I just want you to know I'm going to commit to pray for this in your life before I have my morning coffee. What does that say to them? You're not saying, do you believe in Jesus? Do you know if you're going to heaven and hell? No. You're just saying it's a big deal. It's a big enough deal to me. I'm going to take it to the Lord. And you matter to me. You're important to me enough where I'm going to take your issues before the Lord. I give for you there a biblical reflection on prayer in the book of Acts. That's just a Bible study that you can do at another time. Here's L. How to bless Frank. L, actively listen. Actively listen. Actively listen to their story and how they view the world. Listen for the three T's of receptive soil to sow seeds of the gospel. The three T's of receptive soil, I've already shared with you this morning, is transitions, tensions, and tragedies. Transition, tensions, tragedy. That is fertile soil for people to really hear the gospel, for people to receive something new. When their heart is open. A lot of times when I ask people, how you doing? What's going on in your life? How you doing today? I am listening for transitions, tragedies, or tensions, and they're always there. I heard this statistic one time. I don't know if it's true or not. I read this. I am not saying this, so nobody beat me up in the parking lot, okay? I read that if you ask a female, now this may, I read this, so I'm afraid to say it. I'm afraid to say it. That if you ask a female, how you doing today, 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you something negative. That may not be true. Don't beat me. I'm just the messenger. I don't know if that's true or not. But if you ask, that's what I've heard. If you ask a guy how they're feeling, they don't have any feelings at all. And they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's 100%.
That's 100%. Oh, hey, okay. All right, all right. Transitions, tensions, tragedies. And when you made your Frank list, I bet you may know some of those things that they're going through. You may be intimately aware of what's going on there. And maybe that goes back to the fear that maybe, man, I don't know how to bring this up when all of this is happening or when all of this is going on. Listen for generational receptors of sowing seeds of the gospel. I found this fascinating, is that every generation receives the gospel. They receive it in a different way, but it's still the same gospel. For boomers, how many of you are part of the boomer generation? You're my parents' age, boomer generation, all right, pre-1980, okay. They are all about what's true. What's true? Truth. What is truth? What is truth? What's real? Not fake, what's truth? What's truth? Gen X, I think Gen X is 1980 to 2000 or something like that, Gen X, is what's real, what's authentic, what's real. It's one thing to be true, but is it real? Like, get real with me. And for millennials, it's what's good, what's right, what's good, what's good. It may not be true, but it sure feels good. What's good, what's right. Gen Z, they want to know, is it beautiful? How is it beautiful? How is it beautiful? And then they say that the next generation is going to be called Gen Alpha, and we have no idea. I think maybe Danielle, my wife, she says maybe it's safety. What's safe? What's safe? Maybe that's what it'll be. And then I put this in your notes. Listen to care, not to convince. So oftentimes, and for a long time, evangelism has been a series of convincing, 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 convincing. Nobody wants to be convinced, right? Nobody wants a sales pitch. They just want to know that somebody cares about them. And as the Lord has truly changed your life, as you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, all you're doing is saying, look, I care about Jesus. He cares about me. I know that. I have felt that. I have experienced that. And I care about you. And so I want to share what is so important to me. I want to share that with you. I don't want it to be something that I have and I never let you in on it, or I never share it with you, or I never have a conversation with you about it, or I never let you even explore it or discover it or anything. And I know there are people in our lives who are just not interested. They're just not interested. And those are the people you're just at praying and fasting that the Lord softens their heart. Just pray and fast that the Lord softens their heart. That's why God has put them in your life, because he knew you would know how to pray and fast for that person. Here's E. E is eat together. I know you like this one. Eat together. Imagine how a simple meal with your Frank could impact your relationship. I think different cultures are in different ways, but what I've noticed with every single culture, eating together is a very intimate, personal thing. There's something powerful when you share your faith with someone and you've had a meal with them. You're equals. When you sit at a table with someone, you're equals with them. You're listening to them. You're showing them value. You're involved in their life. One time, when I was in college studying for ministry, I worked for the city of Coldwater, Michigan, and I was the guy that went around and picked up all the dead animals off the road, and then I rode on the back of the garbage truck most of the time, and then I mowed lawns and mowed the cemetery and all that kind of stuff, and I worked with a guy named Hal. I loved Hal. He was a great dude, made me laugh all the time, and he was ready for work all the time. Just a great, great dude. He's a little bit older than my parents. And so I'd get in the truck every morning with Hal, and we just, what'd you do this weekend? What was going on in your life? And we were from two different generations, two different cultures, two different backgrounds. But every single Friday before we ended the day, I'd say, Hal, what are you doing this weekend? And he'd tell me, but I would say, what the hell are you doing this weekend? That's what I would say. You have to say that. You have to say that when you have a friend named Hal. You got to say that. You cannot not say that. So I'd say, what the hell are you doing this weekend, Hal? And so he would say what he was doing and stuff. I'd say, you need to come to church with me. I'd invite him every Sunday to church, every Friday to church on Sunday. You got to come to church on Sunday, man. And he'd say, yeah, well, you know, we got this on Sunday. He was always busy. And then I remember 2 weeks before the summer ended, I said, Hal, I have invited you to church every Friday all summer, and you've never, I thought we were friends, and I'm trying to put the guilt trip on him, you know what I mean? I thought we were friends, but Hal, you need to come to church with me. Lord knows you need Jesus. Look at your life, you know what I mean? So we're joking and everything, and you know what he said to me? He said, John, why would I ever go to your church when I've never even been to your house? And I was like, well, that's what I meant. I was inviting you to my house tomorrow for lunch. That's what what do you think I was going to ask you to do, you know? And so, sure, I invite him over to my house. It was like, you know, having your teacher come visit your house. It was just weird. It was like, Hal's at my house. I don't know. It was just the weirdest thing. And I'm like, here's my bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to show him? Like, we're from two different walks of life. Like, lives are totally different. But he came over, and he had lunch with me at my dinner. It was weird. But guess where Hal was that next Sunday? Sitting next to me in that pew. I went on to college that next weekend, went back to school, and my parents called me 3 weeks later. They said, you're not going to believe this. Hal has been in church every Sunday. And this past Sunday, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Amen. I wish someone would have said, you need to invite Hal over to your house at the beginning of the summer. It would have been a whole lot different summer. When I'm telling you, invite Hal over for lunch right now. Your Frank list, you have to share a meal with them. Before you invite them to church for Christmas Eve, you say, hey, we should grab coffee, or we should get lunch, or we should get our crazy families together and go disrupt an entire restaurant together. Like, have a meal together. Or, hey, come over to my house. I want to cook you my favorite meal, right? It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Shared experiences as equals. Generous experiences. Here's what you're giving them when you have a meal together. Time, treasure, and you're doing it. It's a shared together. You're being together. Community. Time and treasure together. Time, treasure together. And when you practice, here's the next fill in the blank. When you practice the power of presence, at no point yet have you slathered on Jesus to somebody. All you're doing is caring about them and really investing in them. You are the Jesus in their life. Just you being in their life, Jesus is working in their life. I'm telling you, you are somebody's key. Practice the power of presence. S is serve them. Look for a simple way to live generously and serve someone with your time, talent, and treasures. Generosity earns you the right to share your faith. Generosity. I love this tree over here because this tree tells all those people, we care about you. We love you. And all those are different opportunities for someone to go, all right, I'll listen to what you got to say. All right, I'll hear what you think. All right, I'll consider your Christ. That's what that is right there. It earns you the right to share yourself with them, to share your faith with them. It's a powerful, powerful thing. I love my neighbor Travis. He has a servant heart. I mean, he beats me to the punch on this all the time. I've been trying to serve my neighbor, and I'll come home and he's mowed my lawn. I'm like, come on. I mean, he's always helping me out. But I tell you what, if Travis is like, hey, I need to talk to you about rooting for Michigan State, I'd be like, all right, I'll listen. I'll hear you out. I'm telling you, generosity shows someone that they value, that you care about them. And S, share your faith. Share your faith in two ways, both biblically and personally. Biblically and personally. This is an important thing. We got Thanksgiving just passed. Christmas is coming up, and I don't know if you have any Christmas parties or anything like that with work or whatever, but I would encourage you to use that opportunity to share your faith. I know you got fears. We've already talked about it. But there's somebody in your place of work or maybe in your school or wherever, whatever, that you go, I'm going to share my faith. And here's how I want you to share your faith. Say, man, this Christmas is important to me because you know that I have faith in Jesus. And here is where I have found hope in Christ. Because there's this area in my life I was really discouraged, or there's this area in my life I didn't have answers for, or there is this current area of my life where it's not coming together. And I could get really discouraged about it. But because of my relationship with Jesus, I have hope. And I just wanted you to know that, because you're my friend, you're important to me, and I just got to share it with somebody. No one's going to look at you and go, you're a moron. No one's going to say that. No one's going to say, you're an idiot, or don't tell me those kind of things. Right? They're going to say, okay, or thank you, or yeah, I've been actually discouraged in an area of my life and haven't known what to do. And when you're authentic and real and you share your story. One way that I like to put it is you always go to a wedding, and at the wedding, somebody stands up and gives a toast, right? Now, when someone gives a toast, you're not over there going, I don't believe a word they're saying. No, you're not critiquing them. They're trying to convince me to like this person. That's what they're, I don't want a sales pitch. You know what I mean? You don't yell that at the person. No one's rejecting the person because they're saying something nice about the groom or the bride. Well, at Christmas time, Jesus is both the groom and the bride. It's Jesus. Give a toast to Jesus. Now, you don't have to make a speech and have it written out, but when you're having a conversation, can I share something with you? Jesus is a big deal to me, and I want you to know about it. I went to McDonald's one time with my friend Mike. Mike has muscles, a lot of muscles. He works out in a gym. I don't even know where my gym is in my town. And Mike has huge muscles, and obviously I've noticed, okay, that Mike is built. And I've watched Mike in the way that he does things, because he'll say things like, sorry, I'm late, I was running. Well, I was late because I was late sleeping probably, I don't know. But I noticed these things because Mike lives a different kind of life than me. And one time I went to McDonald's with Mike. I didn't even know you could do this. And some of you, when I share it, you're going to be like, I don't even know why you would do that. But let me tell you what Mike did. We walk up to the counter. I should not have gone first. That was my biggest mistake. And I'm like, I'll have a Big Mac with the fries and the drink. And I'm all excited and happy, you know what I mean? Endorphins are washing over my brain. I'm really excited. Mike walks up and says, I'll have two grilled chicken breasts. I'm looking at the menu going, I don't even see that on the menu. It's like some secret McDonald's menu. And they're like, okay. And they charged him like $2 for a chicken breast. So it was $4. And I thought, I didn't even know you could do that. That is like a McDonald's healthy person hack. I've worked at McDonald's. I've never seen anybody order like that. Right away, I went, what'd you order? He said, two chicken breasts. I need the protein. For what? He's like, oh, I got to do my arms later. I go, look at him. I think you're done. I think you've done enough. He said, no, I need the pro. And he starts to begin explaining to me some science behind it about how protein works. And I zoned out because I got fries. Yeah. I'm sure, yeah. There was no point where I looked at Mike and was like, no way. I didn't reject Mike because he got two chicken breasts at McDonald's. I was like, good for Mike. And obviously it's working for him. Obviously, it's working for him. Mike didn't have to say, John, do you know if you're healthy or unhealthy? Yeah, I know where I stand in it, you know? Do you know that you could die at any minute because of your heart? Yeah, I know, okay? Mike didn't judge me. He didn't have to say any of those things. But I became curious of Mike. Listen to me. Frank is curious of you. Because you live in the same life or the same world and do the same things, but the results are different. The results are different. That's why I say you don't have to convince anybody of Jesus. Let Jesus prove himself through you. Let Jesus prove himself. And I like what you said earlier. You said, I'm a Christian under construction. I love that. And that's true. Because your life is a testimony to what Jesus can do. And so when Mike does that, all of a sudden I'm curious, like, well, why do you do that? I want to know more. Mike, how did you get so healthy? Like, how did you get into this? And now Mike's sharing his story with me. Curiosity killed the cat, but it saved the Christian. Curiosity, listen to me, curiosity is what the Lord fuels. And they will become curious of you, so expect it, and then they will become curious of Jesus, because he's the only explanation. I want to challenge you to share your faith through your life personally. Share your life with people. Share the ups and share the downs. Share your discouragement, and then share how you are clinging to Christ. And you will find that your evangelism is actually your own discipleship. It's a powerful thing. And then share your faith, last one, biblically. Know what you believe from the scriptures. As Wesleyans, I'll just tell you, it's kind of a thing we're lacking compared to the Baptists. The Baptists are all about the Bible, 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 Bible. And a lot of times, they don't share their own personal. This is where they need to grow and learn. But sometimes Wesleyans, we don't do enough to share the Bible with people. Here's what the scripture says. Because as they learn to come to the scriptures, and you may say things like, you know, I was living my life like this, and then I read this in the Bible, and it really challenged me. Or I read this in the Bible, and it inspired me. And I read this. I mean, how many of us have had a grandmother that loved Jesus, and she had the scripture right on the wall, you know, needlepoint? I mean, it was right there, because scripture matters. And you want them to be curious and to long for, and the Holy Spirit's going to enable this, scripture, God's word, living in them will bring them life. Your story won't bring them life. I'm sorry to tell you, but Christ and scripture, Christ, the Holy Spirit moving through scripture, continue to draw them through scripture. Sometimes people will share with me, my friend Barb, she shared with me about her dad. We prayed, she's not a believer. I prayed with her for her dad. I said, can I pray with you for your dad? Have you ever? And she became emotional. She had never, I mean, I just prayed for her. That's all I did. Later then, I was reminded of a verse, and I just say, hey, this was a verse that meant a lot to me. I hope it gives you some inspiration. And I sent it to them. And that's an awesome way of just sharing scripture with people. You with me on this one? Here's some helpful advice. Keep it simple. Bless, not convince. Understand the phase of your relationship. So where are you at in your relationship with this person? If this person's not interested, recognize that. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to sell them on Jesus. The next one is trust in a relationship that is built over time. And this talks about the pace of it. Some of you have been a friendship with somebody. Like I was a friend with Hal. And if I would have known this blessed thing, my being able to share faith would have gone a lot faster. And so some of you have been in a friendship with someone. You've earned the right to talk to them about your faith. You've talked to them about your politics. You talked to them about other things in life. You've complained about some things in your life. Now you can share Jesus with them, okay? And some of you, though, you're still in a relationship. You're like, I'm not sure if we're ready for that. Well, build up to that and understand that. Building trust helps move the relationship forward toward Jesus. And most important thing, pray, pray, pray. Here's some next steps. Spend significant time reflecting and praying to form your Frank list. Share the list with an intercessory team or friend or a spouse so they can pray with you too. And begin intentionally blessing Frank. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray because we're done with this teaching. I'm going to stick around for as long as I need to and answer any questions that you have, but I just want to honor your time, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the people in our lives, the Franks. I pray right now for each person in this room. There's 400 people identified who are far from you. You know every single one of them. You know the hairs on their head. You created them for a purpose and a reason. And they're living today, right now, on this earth. And they don't know you. But you know them. And you knew when you created the people in this room that they would be the person, the key for that person to come to know you. And Holy Spirit, you've laid it on our hearts to write their names down. I pray for Frank. I pray that this Christmas, the house would be filled with Frank. I pray that starting the new year, as people transition and make New Year's resolutions and all their life comes together for another year, I pray for Frank. I ask, Lord, that you would convict our hearts and put a burden on our hearts. The way, Lord, that you are drawing them to you, that you would draw us to you, which would draw us to them. I know you've broken the heart of this church for its community, but I ask, Lord, that you would continue to break the hearts of the Christians inside of it. Each individual person for their Frank, Lord. Holy Spirit, let us not even, I pray this in conviction, I pray this, Lord, that you would allow us not even to enjoy Christmas as Christians until we have a conviction for the lost, our personal Frankless, Lord. That when we see the Advent candle lit, when we see the hope candle lit, we want them to know it too. We love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Thank you, Dighton, for letting me come. I really, really do appreciate this. Thank you so much.